Reaching up, reaching over, and reaching out. We are New Life Christian Fellowship. For service times, articles, or recordings of our weekly messages, please visit us online at www.nlcfchurch.org. This message is brought to you by Kevin Weeb.
We are continuing our series today called The Work of the Spirit, and today we'll be looking at the gifts of the Spirit. In March of 1981, writes a man named David Parson, he says, in March of 1981, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. and was hospitalized for several weeks. Although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. Government continued on. On the other hand, suppose the garbage collectors in this country went on strike, as they did not long ago in Philadelphia. That city was not only a literal mess, the pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike would paralyze the country. So who is more important, the president or a garbage collector? In the body of Christ, seemingly insignificant ones are urgently needed. Today we are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, our passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 12. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. That's as far as we'll be reading this morning of this passage. We'll look at a little bit more of it in a little bit. But I want to begin just by reiterating the fact that not all of us get the same gifts. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we read about the fruits of the Spirit, this is something, these are things that the Spirit produces in all of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These things are something that the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit comes to live in us, produces all of these things in all of us in varying degrees as we mature in our faith. But with the spiritual gifts, it's a bit different. This list of spiritual gifts, it's not that all of us get all the gifts, not like the fruits of the Spirit where we're, you know, made more full in each of them all the time for all of us. With the gifts of the Spirit, it's different. It's different functions for different people, different gifts and abilities for different people. It's not something you get by wanting it. It's not something that you get by practicing, although we can hone our gifts once they're given, but it is something that you get that is decided by God Himself. It says the Holy Spirit decides on these things. Not all of us get the same gifts. So that means we're different. How about that? Anyone have any doubts about that? We're all a bit different, and that's not a bad thing. though it does make it challenging. Things are a lot easier when everybody is the same. You know, we generally can get along with a lot less conflict when there's a lot less diversity in our midst. But when it comes to these functions and gifts, we're not all the same. God makes us differently, wires us differently, and once we come to Christ, we're given a different gift in the Spirit. Many different kinds of gifts, but remember, it is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God we are all serving. And it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So it's not all the same. So coming into this, it's different than the fruits of the Spirit. When we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, when we talk about one gift, it doesn't mean that the next person's going to have the same one. But everyone who is in Christ receives a gift. This is something that each of us is given. Verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then it goes on to talk about the different gifts that are given. So everyone who's in Christ receives a gift. There's nobody left out. You ever been to an event? I know as a kid, I used to go to this kids club, and they would give out prizes. And back then, you actually had to win a game to get a prize. And I was so disappointed when I would lose every single game and I wouldn't get a single candy throughout the whole evening. And then I felt like, oh man, everyone else is getting candy and I don't. And I leave a little bit sad. And I think at one point I might have even cried. I was probably about 4 or 5 and have this memory of leaving in tears because I didn't get a candy. It's not like that with Jesus, okay? Everybody gets a gift. Everyone who is in Christ receives a gift from the Spirit. And they're not going to be the same. And it might not be the one that you want, even. But it will be the one that God wants you to have. It will be the one that God will work in you and work through you, something that will be helpful, that God will use you in a certain way. Everybody who is in Christ receives a gift. I like to ask people sometimes if they'd be willing to preach a message. And I say it with a bit of a smile because most people usually say, oh, no, not me. And a whole bunch of you have heard me ask this over the years, especially at board meetings. I like to say, you know, board members, you're welcome to preach a message sometime, and almost never does anyone take me up on that, even though I would love to have other people share what God is learning. But we don't all have the same gifts, and that's okay. That's okay. But we are all given different gifts. And so I am convinced, though, that there's probably a few more of you that actually could probably preach than who says yes to that. John, you had a very nice little word for us this morning. I was giving John a hard time the other week about trying to get him to say yes to doing a message. Anyway, everybody who's in Christ receives a gift, but it's different gifts, and that's not a bad thing. Okay, so we all receive a gift. Nobody's left out. There's nobody who can be in Christ and say, God, you didn't give me anything. We all have something that God gives to us, that His Spirit gives to us, an ability, something we can do to serve the wider community. To one person gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. On it goes. There's other passages. The one that was read earlier in Romans 12 lists different spiritual gifts. There's another passage in Peter that lists different spiritual gifts. Some, it says to those who have the ability or the gift of mercy, then show mercy. The gift of governing, then govern. That we have different abilities. Now, like we often do, this happens all over the world and in our society. We see it very clearly, too. We gather together with those that are like us, and then we like to kind of make fun of those that are not like us. So let's start with a few that we have in this room. We have men and we have women. And us men like to make jokes about girls and women sometimes. And the women, I also know, like to make jokes about men sometimes. And that happens. Sometimes the jokes are good-hearted and funny, and sometimes they're actually a little bit mean. Then we can go into other things that we would have those that are good at welding, which is probably all of you except for me. Because most of you have much better training in that than I did, although I did take shop class, and my shop teacher thought I was probably just a failure in this. So we could do a divide ourselves in our ability to weld, and we could look at all of your welds, and I would go, man, that's amazing. You can take two pieces of metal and make them one piece of metal, and you would look at mine, and it would be two pieces of metal that each have a hole melted through it. And that's about my ability to weld. So we could divide ourselves based on that ability, and you'd all laugh at my welding job, and I would cry about it a little bit, and then I'd laugh at it too in time. And then we could divide ourselves based on what sports team we like. Now, one of you might like the Detroit Red Wings, I think they're called. Now this tells you how much of a sports guy I am. And then some of you might like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I don't think anyone here likes the Maple Leafs. Does anybody like the Maple Leafs? Okay. All right, so we like different teams, and then we band together with those that have the teams that we like, and we make fun of people who like the other team. So I grew up in northern Alberta, so I'm supposed to like the Edmonton Oilers. Well, this very good friend of mine who used to work for the EMC office, his name's Charlie Coop. And he's preached here before. He's poured into our church at different times in leadership and things. He's retired now, but Charlie's from Calgary, and he likes the Calgary Flames, and so I always make fun of him for liking the Flames, and he makes fun of me for liking the Oilers, even though I don't really know all the rules of hockey even. But we like to judge each other based on these differences, and sometimes we poke fun at each other, but other times it actually gets downright mean, right? We can be cruel to one another. But we're not supposed to judge someone because their gift is different than yours. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, we might work together with people that have a similar gift because we're working in a similar area, and this makes sense. You know, that those with the gift of leadership often end up in positions of leadership. So then, as us leaders of the church will make decisions and discuss issues pertaining to the church, then we're sitting around a table with people with a similar gift, serving in that way. All right, so then we can be together, working together. And then people with the gift of music often work together on the stage to lead us in worship of the Lord through music. And on we go. People who are good at cooking serve in the kitchen to prepare our food when we're, you know, allowed to eat food together. But we can band together in those different things. But what we sometimes do is we judge others whose gifts are different. And we think that they're maybe not quite as good as we are because our gift is better. And we're not supposed to do that, because God is the one who decides who gets this gift. Remember verse 11? It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So you don't decide what gift you have. The person in the pew next to you doesn't decide which gift they have. This is something that the Holy Spirit gives to us. This is something that the Holy Spirit does and decides. And this is something that we cannot judge each other for. 1 Corinthians 12, this is just a little bit further down than where we've already read. So if we skip down to verse 18 of this chapter, it says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." Some parts that seem the least important are actually the most necessary. Just like the difference between a president and a garbage man. The country can continue on quite well without a president for a time, Yes, it's an important role, but the nation can continue on until such a time as they can install a new president. But what would happen if you take all the garbage men out of the society? Well, it gets pretty stinky pretty fast. It becomes a health hazard. People get sick. People die. It's not a good situation. Those jobs that seem the least important are sometimes the most necessary. So we can't judge each other based on this. You can't look and say that, well, because I'm a preacher, it's the most important job. But you know what? Every preacher can be replaced by another preacher as well. I don't think we're the most important job in the church, actually. I really don't think so. I don't know which would be the most important, but I think that's kind of the point, is we are all important. One part can't say to the other, that's what we just read in the scriptures, we can't say to the other that I don't need you, because we need each other. A friend of mine tells a story about his grandpa who had some warts on his toe, but it was in Mexico and he couldn't afford to go to the hospital for it, and so he thought, well, it was just one toe, so instead of getting the warts dealt with, he just cut it off himself. And he realized very quickly that that one little toe that he thought he didn't need ended up playing a huge role in his balance that he never even thought of. And it just goes to show that one little toe can make a big difference in your life. And I never would have thought about that either. But yeah, for people that lose a toe in different accidents and stuff, it's a huge deal. We take our toes for granted, and, you know, we've got 10 of them, so what would be the difference if one is missing? Would anybody really notice? But yes, you notice very, very quickly. You know, a lot of us, you know, maybe aren't the biggest fans of feet because sometimes they're a bit smelly or dirty or whatever, but our feet are very important, and we can't judge them. Like, that's the one thing this passage said. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So too in the body of Christ, we need every part, we need every gift that the Holy Spirit has given to us. We need every person that is here to do their part in the body of Christ. Now likewise, we're not supposed to judge people because they have a different gift than us or think that they're lesser, but we also aren't supposed to look down on ourselves because your gift is different than others. We're not supposed to do that, but this is something I think more of us would probably struggle with in this room anyway, is thinking, well, I'm not as important because I don't have the gift that that person has over there. But just as we can't look down on others because of their gift, so too we shouldn't look down on yourselves. God saw fit to give you a gift for a reason. Imagine that you have children. Now, a lot of you do have children. And several of them. Imagine you had several children, or think about the children that you do have, and you need to get this task done, and you know who your child is. You know how they are made, and you know how you've taught them and raised them, and you give them each a job suited just to who they are. You give them each a task just to who they are. Maybe you're building a shed. And maybe you're like me and you have a child who's really interested in circuits and wiring. Our Marshall loves learning about electricity and wiring. So if I'm building a shed, the child I'm going to give the task of helping with, you know, maybe installing switches or plug-ins and whatever, that's going to be Marshall because he's just wired that way. That's terrible. Wired that way. Then if I want someone to help me with decorations, I know that Finley loves playing this game with his mom on her phone where they pick different colors and styles of things to go together. So I might ask him to help me with matching the siding color to the shingle color or something like that. And Jasmine's good at a lot of things, especially baking, so I'll have her make snacks for us while we work. I don't know. That's just a silly example. But when you know your children, you give them a gift based on who they are and what they're able to do. And I just talked about three things that my kids are all very good at. My daughter loves baking. Marshall loves electricity and wiring and stuff. And Finley loves decorating stuff and picking out styles and all that. And so we could make use of them in different ways based on who they are. And they could look down on each other for that, or they could look down on themselves and say, well, it's not important, but how heartbreaking would it be for me as a parent if one would say to the other, well, I'm not good at picking out colors, I only know wiring, so I'm not as good as you. Oh, that would be heartbreaking. That misses the point. Or if one child would say, I think you're worthless because you're not as good at baking as me. Well, that would be heartbreaking too, because I love all my children. I teach them all different things, and they all have gifts. Now, these gifts aren't given from me, but the Lord has made them a certain way with these things in mind. And I'm very proud of each of them for the way that they have these talents and they use them. And so too, when God gives you a gift, it breaks the Lord's heart if you look down on yourself because it's not someone else's gift. The Lord has given you something that you can do to serve others, something that is specific to you, a way that you can serve the Lord in this world, to be his ambassador in a certain way. And while I used the example earlier of asking people to preach a message, today I want to ask every one of you to preach a message. Maybe not in the pulpit, but in my book I write about this, I quote a man who says that your life is always testifying to something, that no matter what we do, if we're saying words or if we're not saying words, if we're doing something or if we're not doing something, that our life is always sending a message about something. What is your life communicating to the world around you? What are your actions or the things that you don't do? What is that communicating to the world? What is the sermon of your life? Okay, and God has given you a gift to be able to communicate his love in some way, somehow, to someone. What is the message of your life? Now, you're not all going to come and preach a sermon on a Sunday morning, though I think a few of you probably should. But we should all be every single day proclaiming the good news of Jesus, proclaiming the love of God, using the gifts that God has given us, whatever that is. The message of our life should be communicating the love of God to everyone in some way or another. And I don't know how you are gifted, all of you. I know some of your gifts, and I know that there's a large variety of gifts in our congregation for which I am deeply grateful. But don't look down on yourself because your gift is different than others. Let's read another passage from this chapter in verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? You see, we all are given different parts. And Paul compares it to a body. There's many different parts, many different functions. Right? We do different things, but it's one body. We serve in different ways, but it's one Spirit, one Lord, one God that we are serving, even though we do it in different ways. Every part of the body of Christ is important. There's no part that is too small. There's no part that is insignificant. Now, as we talk about these gifts, we need to remember these gifts are empowered by the Spirit. This isn't something we just can do on our own. This is something that God enables us to do. Now, I know someone who used to hate public speaking, but after deciding to follow Jesus, the Lord put preaching in his heart. And that's part of his testimony, and he became a pastor. He's one of the other EMC pastors here in Southern Ontario. I've known people who hated being with other people, but after coming to Jesus, after coming to the Lord, they began to serve others and spend time with others, and hospitality actually became a strength of theirs. There's something that changes inside of us when we accept Jesus as His Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts, and God shows us ways that we can serve in ways that maybe we didn't know were there. And for other people, it's in ways that we kind of knew were there because the Lord, you know, gave us this natural talent as well, but then He takes that natural talent and He makes it supernatural because He enables us to use it to share the love of God with others in a very special way. See, more than just coming to dwell in us, the Spirit gives us the ability to do something to serve others for the glory of God. And that is a beautiful thing. This is what the Spirit empowers us to do. And we'll be talking about the Spirit as a source of power in a future message. I want to encourage you to use the gifts that the Spirit gives you. Use the gifts the Spirit of Jesus gave you. Whatever that is, you don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed that this is the gift that God gave you because it's not the gift that someone else has. God's asking you to use that gift. You know, in Matthew 25, I want to read this passage in a moment. I'll just kind of summarize up to this point. A master is going away for a long time, and he leaves some money, some funds with his servants. He leaves money with three different servants. To one, he gives quite a bit. The other, he gives kind of a medium amount. And to the third, he gives just a little bit. And he goes on this long trip, and they're supposed to put this money to work. He's giving them a business opportunity. He's saying, invest this money, put it to work. Like, here's a business given to you on a silver platter. Do something with it, and I'll come back and see how you're doing in a little while from now. Well, in verse 19 is where we pick up the story. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's a pretty scary consequence to not doing what we should be doing with what we've been given. You see, God gives each of us an opportunity to serve. He gives each of us something that we can do for His kingdom's sake. And He wants us to be faithful in using whatever it is that He's given. Is it 1 bag of silver? Is it 2 bags of silver? Is it 5 bags of silver? What are the gifts that God has given to you? How are you using them? There's actually something really beautiful about this passage that took me a long time to understand. I'll go back just a little bit, one slide. The servant is talking to the master, and he says, "I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate," and he was afraid. Now, the master is supposed to represent God in this story, and the servant says he's harvesting crops he didn't plant, and he calls him a harsh man. And so how does this jive with God? It sounds like stealing, doesn't it? Harvesting crops he didn't plant. Yet when you look at the work of God, you look at how we can go through the most terrible of circumstances, and the Lord will still be at work in our lives. The Lord will still be creating something out of our mess. And we look at the ways we fail again and again and again, and we come to Jesus so broken, so messed up, and we say, Lord, please forgive me. Please make something of this mess of mine. And God takes that. Yeah, he didn't plant that mess in our lives. He didn't make all of that terrible stuff going on in our lives. He's not the one who started all of that sin and suffering and awful stuff that we're going through. But he takes us in that moment. And he takes us and he makes something out of us. He turns us from just a hunk of mud and dirt into a beautiful sculpture, one that he breathes life into. So yes, God harvests where he didn't plant, because we plant so many seeds of sorrow. We plant so many seeds of sin in our lives and in our past. And the Lord takes that and he turns it around into good, and he makes something of us. And suddenly, this picture of God isn't one of someone who's a thief, but rather it's someone who's a redeemer. Someone who's a savior, saving us from ourselves. And then giving us gifts. Gifts we can use to make our world a better place. Gifts we can use to not only improve our own lives, but improve the lives of everyone that we meet. Use the gifts the Spirit of Jesus gave you. What is the gift that God has given to you? I want to close with a story about a man who chiseled rock. He would go to a mountain and he would spend his days cutting stones out of this mountain to sell for building material. Backbreaking labor. Not a very glamorous job. It was something anybody could really get into as long as they were willing to work. The lowliest of nobodies of the world could become rock cutters. And one day, this man who was a rock cutter saw a dignitary of some kind, a prince or a governor or a king or something, coming through, and people had him hoisted up. Four men were carrying him in a throne with these long poles, and they were walking him down the street, and everyone was watching. It was a bit of a parade, and this man said, I wish I could be that king, that dignitary. And you know what happened? Poof! All of a sudden, he became that king. And he thought, oh, this is pretty good. And so he's going about being a king now, or dignitary, going from place to place and governing and ruling. And as the people are carrying him, he looks up and he sees the sun, and it is so scorching hot, and he's sweating, and he's like, ah, now I'm more powerful, but the sun is more powerful yet. So he thought, man, I wish I could be the sun. And poof, he became the sun. And so he's like, man, I've got all this power. So he was like just radiating and sending the light down on earth and thought, this is so cool. And then he'd give people sunburns. Look what I can do. And then he would go and he'd try to, one day he wanted to shine on this town, but these big clouds blew in and he just couldn't make it through. He couldn't shine through. He said, I have all this power, but the cloud is more powerful than me and it can stop me from shining. I wish I was a cloud. Poof, he became a cloud. So he's these clouds and winds, and he's moving around, and he's blocking the sun from people, and they're enjoying its shade. And he's like, oh, this is pretty cool. I can stop the sun. But then he came to a mountain, and he could do nothing to the mountain. No matter how hard he pushed, the mountain was still there, higher than he was, and he couldn't move the mountain. So he thought, oh, the mountain's more powerful than me. I wish I was a mountain. So, poof, he becomes a mountain. Sturdy, strong, constant, immovable. He's a strong mountain. Until one day he hears this sound. Clink, clink, clink. And he looks down at the base of the mountain, and there are the humble rock carvers cutting away the mountain. And he thought, those people are more powerful than me. I can do nothing to stop them from carving away at my base. We've all been given a gift, and God wants to use you in some way, in some form. The Spirit of God has chosen what it is He enables you to do. So will you use the gifts that God gives you as He enables you? Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for the many gifts that you have given to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that as we reflect on the spiritual gifts you have given to us through the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would inspire each one of us to make good use of those gifts. Lord, to honor your name. Lord, to serve one another and to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for your Spirit, your presence with us, which is the seal of our salvation and the source of all of our power. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would inspire us and give us what we need to do your will in our lives today. Thank you that this is a prayer that you always answer with a yes, Lord, and the promise that you give us everything we need to do your will. May we go from here uplifted and refreshed, and may your word bear fruit in our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.